Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Kempower, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere. And StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie, and today I am joined again by Kyle. Hey, Kyle, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. You've been pretty busy lately, driving up and down the coasts, flying coast to coast, and now you're back in Florida, United States of America, and you're calling in from a Ford F-150 Lightning, which you have actually plugged into the Tesla Supercharger network, which people are probably aware of, but that is pretty cool. That's a step in a new direction. And if you're tuning in on YouTube, you can see Kyle holding up the NACS to CCS adapter, J3400 to CCS adapter. What do you think about it all, Kyle?
Well, it's a new world. Charging has changed in America as of this week. It's a completely different landscape than it was even just 7 days ago at the moment. I think it was actually 7 days ago today that, at least the time we're recording this will go up after, that the Supercharger network opened to Ford electric vehicles and soon to other automakers. Very soon, within a week or two, we'll start to see other automakers join as well. And this has been a transition I've been very much excited for, looking forward to cover. Of course, this is our world. This is what we talk about on this channel and our reviews channel and our motoring channel. Most of our work centers around electric vehicles and charging them. And, you know, it sounds pretty boring, but this is one of the most exciting things where we're now able to plug in other non-Tesla electric vehicles to the Supercharger network, which is by far the superior charging network in our country. But that does not come without limitations. I've actually had a couple bugs doing it. And I've learned a lot throughout this process about charge port locations and cable lengths. And I figured I'd wrap up sort of my thoughts now after doing just about 2,000 miles, maybe, just under 2,000 miles, only using Tesla Superchargers to charge this F-150 Lightning.
Wow, really cool. Yeah, and if people aren't up to date, you might have missed it, especially if you're not a Ford EV driver. But Ford is the first automaker that is getting access to charge on the Tesla Supercharger network using this adapter, of course. So it's opening it up to automakers, the Supercharger network, but Ford is first. In terms of the phasing that will go with other automakers, we're not exactly sure of the timing. We do know that other automakers have told their customers, hey, you'll be getting an adapter here or there or then. And we're still waiting on that. But Ford customers are the first ones to get access. And the Ford customers, drivers that I've spoken to at Chargers, they know it. They know all about it. They've been given, you know, the message from Ford and they're really excited about it. Can't wait to get their adapters. Their orders are in. But other drivers might not know, including Tesla drivers. So that Ford drivers are coming onto the Tesla network. So, okay, tell me a bit more. You've driven so far, you've used the adapter. You said you ran into some bugs, but where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think we should start where we left off on this channel, which is our interview with Robert from Ford. And he, Rob Hayes, he's awesome. He is responsible for basically the charging experience for the customer. I think I don't remember his exact job title, but Rob's awesome. He's been a friend for a while. He knows Maki Road Trip on Twitter. He's a huge enthusiast. Really walked us through this adapter, and we had that pre-recorded before the announcement. And it was great for him to join us ahead of time. We held the video until we could talk about it. And that was awesome. The next thing I did was right after that conversation, I flew to New Jersey to be the first one. I said it a lot in the video, but it was exciting to be the first one to plug in as a non-Ford employee, a Ford vehicle to a Tesla supercharger. For me, that's a big deal because it wasn't so much that I was the first to plug in a Ford, but I was the first to plug in a non-Tesla electric vehicle to a public supercharging station. And to me, that is like the biggest momentous occasion. I don't need to be first for all the other automakers. It's all pretty much going to work the same, but to be the first one to do it for all of them, that was an amazing, amazing day. So I was able to do that, and it was the most anticlimactic thing to happen. It was take the supercharger version 3 handle, plug it into the adapter, plug this into the car, and then it charged. And we're like, oh, that was great. Okay, we can leave now. So all this talk, all this hubbub, all this excitement for something that takes 18 seconds, and then you're like, oh, great, it's charging. That was boring.
So when you say 18 seconds, that's the handshake that's going on.
Plus or minus. Yeah, I haven't timed it exactly, but it's between 18 and 28 seconds, somewhere around there. It's pretty fast compared to normal plug and charge, actually. And it's slow compared to Tesla, but that's for a nerd podcast later on as to the communications that's happening. There's no certificate exchange with Tesla, but there is for the third party vehicles. The next thing I did was I really wanted to show, and this video just went up on our motoring channel right before we posted this podcast. I wanted to show the difference between the CCS chargers and the Tesla superchargers. And so I called up my friend Tom Malagni, who has the identical spec extended range Lariat F-150 Lightning to the one I'm driving here from Ford. And Ford's cool. They're giving this to us for a month, which is awesome. So we're able to do a bunch of stuff with this truck. Tom and I were like, let's go on a road trip. So we decided to go from his house to Daytona, Florida, which is 1,002 miles is what we've calculated. And so we did a 1,000-mile road trip comparison between CCS and superchargers. And I won't spoil the ending to you, but we both got there in roughly the same amount of time. However, we did it through the middle of the night when traffic was low. There were a couple high traffic situations that we ran into along with others, but ultimately it was more about station location. It was about ease of access to the charger. And we wanted to show that superchargers are faster, even under the most ideal conditions when stations are empty, when EA has availability. As soon as you start to get some traffic, the supercharger advantage goes up exponentially, because they just have so many more stations than most of the public CCS stations have.
Yeah. You can really see that too, because sometimes there will be like a CCS station next to a Tesla supercharger station with Tesla stalls just galore empty, and then like 4 DC fast charging CCS stations.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest example of that is Quartzsite, Arizona, where there's 114, something like that, Tesla superchargers across the street from 4 EA stations. just crazy.
Stark contrast.
Yeah. And so that's why Ford wanted access to the network, the supercharger network. Locations are better, far less issues and bugs, you would think. And it's still early days, but I ran into two pretty big issues with the supercharger network with the Lightning so far. And that's pretty good for 2000 miles, two issues. That's awesome. And I've already just witnessed more issues than that on the EA side, but actually Tom had zero issues on his drive down with Electrify America through the night. He was finding stations that were down. He said pretty much every location had one charger that was offline, leaving 3 available. But as long as he got the spot, the one working 350 kilowatt station or whatever it turned out to be, he was okay. And that's what we wanted to show through the middle of the night, was best case scenario for both. It would be really interesting to redo that trip middle of the day on a peak travel day and show the difference. Here's what I've learned plugging in the Lightning to superchargers. The cables are very short, so you need to really get this thing right up in between. You need the nose in between the stalls, and you stretch the cable into the truck. And I've got it down pretty now where I can get it to interface without stretching. I just pull up the front camera. But if you don't have a front camera on your Ford, or if you have a Mach-E with a low lip, you're going to be, you know, this is a real problem. So Tesla will be upgrading, I believe, many of their sites with the version 4 dispensers, and there's many more to come online, and that's going to help a ton. The next thing I noticed is that it seems like maybe only 60%, maybe just over, of the version 3 superchargers are actually available to work with the Lightning or any Ford product or any non-Tesla product right now. And so I tried it twice now where I went to two different version 3 superchargers that were not on the map approved, and it just shows charger failure, just won't go. There's two things every version... Whoa, we fell. Sorry.
Are you okay, Kyle?
I'm good, but the computer also just took a hit. It's all good. Okay. There's two things every version 3 supercharger needs, now that I have your attention, in order to function. And that is, you need a CCS communication module, and you need the CTEP compliant meters on the inside. So that's what they consider to be an upgraded V3. Is one that has all of the compliance needed with the balloons. I don't know why they're there for our YouTube audience. Is that what does it? You do this and then balloons?
Yeah, when you hold up your peace signs.
Okay, well, that's
maybe you just saw one of yours, but okay. I have mine turned off.
Okay, nice. But on the other hand, there are also some newer V3s that are not on the open approved map that do work. So Tom took his truck to a charger that was not on the map, and it worked totally fine.
Interesting.
And you just have no clue. So you just gotta try it, play around with it.
Yeah, you have to have the guts to do it.
Yeah, so there's some hidden available chargers out there that are not on the map that do work. I guess some other things to mention about the version 3 chargers. So the charge port location is a tough one. There are a few out of our 6 stops, I think there were only 2 superchargers where I could actually park without blocking a stall. However, it requires the most far right charger to be available. Mm-hmm. And so as long as a Tesla is not there, I can park on the other side of the supercharger and plug in. There was one instance at our first charger that we got to where there was one available. It was the farthest right stall. We got really lucky, but there was a giant curb. And so I had my dad drive the Lightning, four-wheel drive it up on this curb. And he literally almost took out the supercharger. It could have been bad, but I've learned we need to work on his throttle control because he was just wide open throttle, full brakes. I'm like, you got to be smooth, Dad. So it was quite hectic. He was yelling at me. I was screaming at him. I'm like, don't crash. What's going on here? And but ultimately we got the truck lined up and we got it charging, but it looked like we had run over, you know, a bunch of stuff to do it.
Yeah, definitely be careful. But I do remember Robert saying on the podcast when we spoke with Ford about the adapters that, you know, start from the right and then fill up from there, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but it only works if the right's available.
Right. So then Tesla's start from the left and fill up from there.
It's just not going to happen. People are just going to plug in wherever they want. And there's going to be no etiquette here. There's no way you can educate everyone. It's just going to be a free for all. And it's going to be interesting.
I mean,
a lot of Tesla owners, their impressions of us using the network with a Ford. And I would say it was 50-50 of confusion and excitement. No one was angry about it. No one ever said, like, you shouldn't be here. This isn't fair. Everyone was just like, are you sure you're charging? Like, I don't think you're charging. Like, that's not possible. Like, you proved to me you're charging. And I'm like, here's the OBD readout. It's getting 120 kilowatts right now. And then all the way to people being like, oh, damn, the adapter's out. Congratulations. Welcome to the supercharger network. I'm like, I've been driving Teslas for years. Thanks. So, you know, it was all great. It was all good. No one was like, I'm pissed you're here.
Yeah, that would be a little.
I think it's going to happen.
Sense though. Of entitlement.
I think if you take up 2 spots, it could be a problem. Mm-hmm. And I ran into a supercharger station that was exactly 50% full, which means, and they were all spaced perfectly, so I could not get the Lightning in. and charge. So there's like, you know, the old school mentality of leaving space for version two chargers, but it's also just awkward to like park right next to another Tesla if there's other space available. I always leave a space in between the cars. Leads to a very difficult time to get the Lightning or any car with a non-native charge port location to interface with the supercharger. So this is going to be a topic.
Yeah, that's a lot to consider. I am curious about how in future design site designs Tesla will consider the fact that there will be different EVs charging on their sites. Have you heard anything about that?
No, other than version fours will be centrally mounted with a long cable, and I think that's all we need. So other than that, I don't think there's much to do. There's not much they can do with version threes, to be honest.
No.
And, you know, and it doesn't. The extension cord would heat up and it wouldn't be great. So.
And it would be quite expensive to retrofit a bunch of sites. So I think, yeah, there will be some headaches with the current site designs that are, of course, designed for how Teslas are designed. And then also the unique circumstance of saying, yeah, I can charge here too now. So if you could make some room for me, that would be great.
And that's going to be a whole nother social experiment that we should really dig into. And I've been monitoring everything, you know, talking to other people. What do you think about this? You know, figuring out the right place to park. Do you take the trailer pull-in spots? I mean, like, what is the appropriate thing to do here? And so that's been interesting. I've had two issues using the supercharger network, which I've had, you know, I literally saw an EA charger capacitor pop and the whole thing went offline in front of me. So these issues are very minor in comparison. But I had one where I got, we call it the Signet surge, but it was the Signet surge on a supercharger, not related to Signet in this case. But I've only seen it once before where a temperature sensor intermittently goes inside the supercharger handle and you get 120 kilowatts, 30, 70, 120, 30, blah, 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 and it's just up and down and you can hear the cable cooling on the charger spinning up and spinning down. The problem is the Lightning does not show you charging speeds. And the problem is the Ford Pass app shows you charging speeds, but it's not real time. You won't notice the surge on when you're pulling the data from the Ford Pass because it pulls every few seconds. And so thankfully I had an OBD adapter in to like see the power going into the battery. And I heard the cable cooling kicking on and off. I'm like, that's not good. So I just moved one stall over and I was able to connect. That's a known issue on superchargers. It's been happening a little bit more, but you know, supercharger surge is a thing and it's all down to the temperature sensor and the handle losing communication.
Interesting. That is something where more information for the driver, for the person charging their EV is useful to avoid any kind of problems that would result from that kind of surging. Okay.
The next issue was I was in Florida at a Wawa's in Jacksonville, I think. And I pulled to the far right stall, the one where I wasn't going to block anyone. There was a parking space to the right of the stall that was just general parking. So I pulled in there, plugged in the Lightning. Nothing happened. This is like an on the map approved supercharger. Truck just said no charger detected. That supercharger was just dead. So I moved it one over and it charged fine. You know, there are a couple, but I don't want to, like, I'm not painting the picture that the supercharger network's perfect here and this solves all of our problems. It's just I had a couple issues with them, just like I probably would have found a couple issues with any public charger. You know, I used the Mercedes charger by the way at Bucky's after a road trip. The whole screen froze on me, the charge point screen. And it just like had a software glitch and I didn't know if we were charging or not because the Lightnings don't tell you how fast. So I had to like plug the OBD into Tom's truck and be like, is this thing charging? So there's a bunch of little niggles with everyone. Ultimately what I think I've learned more than anything about the supercharger access is that it more than doubles my impression of the places you can charge. You know, if I see a bunch of chargers available, my first place that I'm going to go is a Tesla supercharger. But if it's full or if it's half full and I can't plug in, I could go to the EA down the street. It just opens up optionality. And that to me is, you know, freedom to travel, freedom to plug in anywhere. And that's where we've been needing to get to with our electric, transformation as quickly as possible. Thankfully, we're there. Now it brings up the topic of competition. Who's going to basically earn the customers over each other? And the only benefit of this competition will be to the end user drivers. We're going to have a much better experience. We'll have price competition. We'll have amenity competition. And it really becomes focusing on how do you get your drivers to use your chargers if you're trying to get maximum throughput. So this is a great situation. The supercharger network is not the magic bullet that maybe even I was thinking it would be. You know, I think there's enough annoyances with getting weird looks. It's early days from Tesla owners, interesting conversations to needing to pull up all the way and get the truck aligned. You know, there's a lot of niggles and not everything's perfect, but what it does do is it allows you to charge everywhere. And I hope Tesla brings more chargers online that are available to the public in more locations. For example, there's a 16 stall version 3 supercharger right down the street from me. Not really many other chargers in the area, and that one's not online. Would have been very convenient if it was. So we're getting there, but it's not perfect yet.
Definitely not perfect. I think a lot of people would trade the current experience and the issues that they run into in the CCS, DC fast charging, public networks, for whatever they're going to run into now having the option to charge on the Tesla supercharger networks, whether it's not having to wait till the spot that works for you opens up, to just learning how the new system works and all of that. I think it's, you said at the top of the podcast that it is a whole new world. And I think there are a lot of things that will be new and welcomed for people charging on public networks. Road trips are going to change. Access to resources for charging is just increasing with this. So I think it's really exciting to see. You mentioned competition as well, and I am looking forward to see how other charging networks are going to be able to make a case for themselves to build strategies that work and to build that competition. It affects everything from how our city planning happens with chargers to how the utilities are going to charge and not charge for, you know, demand charges. It's really a big ripple effect. So it'll be very interesting as the charging networks continue to improve on the notorious reputations that they have, how this will affect other industries at large. So really cool. I'm excited to get my own chance to plug in a non-Tesla onto the Tesla supercharger network soon enough, I'm sure. So a lot to look forward to. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, everyone, let us know what questions you have and if you have been able to plug in your Ford EV on the Tesla Supercharger network. I would love to know how it went for you or a friend you know or something. Let us know. Thank you for plugging in with us today for another electric episode of the Out of Spec podcast. Hope you have a great rest of your day and we will see you next time on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.